Gentlemen, joy is more than happiness. Jesus endured the cross for the joy set before him. Can we do the same? Hello, I'm Brian Patrick. Welcome to Crossing the Goal, where we tackle some topics that men might think about but don't talk about very much. As we continue our series on the godly man, being joyful is our topic this time on Crossing the Goal. We are kicking off our show, The Godly Man is Joyful. Let's meet our joyful Crossing the Goal team, the Vice President of Renewal Ministries, Peter Herbeck, Founder and President of Focus, Fellowship of Catholic University Students, Curtis Martin, and our coach on Crossing the Goal, a former NFL coach and All-Pro wide receiver, Danny Abramowitz. Peter, Jesus, I think, was probably one of the most joyful people that ever walked the earth.
No doubt. You know, he said to us he came to give us his joy. You know, the Christian life ought to be characterized by joy. It certainly was that way in the scripture, certainly was that way in the life of the apostles in the early church, but it seems conspicuously absent today in many parts of the church, and we're going to address that during our program.
The reason it's so important to do so is because really joy is the secret weapon of the Christian. It is what renders Christianity not only acceptable intellectually, but desirable. When we see people who are joyful, we want what they have even before we understand what it is.
What's a joyful man look at? I sort of jotted down a few
like
notes
you.
Here.
Yeah.
A
joyful man looks just like you.
Danny Abramowitz.
It's a person full of energy.
Yeah, that's you.
Secondly, he laughs as much as possible and doesn't take himself too serious. Next, he's enthusiastic, has a happy spirit. When he enters the room, he lights it up, just like you guys do, right?
Yeah.
And you know another thing? Has a positive attitude. He is living the life that God wants him to live.
And joy is more than happiness. I mean, happiness can be a fruit of joy. I mean, but joy, I can be sad and have joy in my heart
Absolutely.
At the same time. It comes from the Lord. We do need a game plan, though, to see how we can be joyful men. And we just so happen to have Peter and Curtis putting that game plan together. And it's coming up next here on Crossing the Goal, right after a quick timeout. Joy. Joy, boys.
The godly man is filled with joy, and we've reached the game plan where this is a time that we break down the issue. What exactly is joy? How do we live it? How do we acquire it? So, Peter, what are we talking about?
It's not real easy to exactly define joy, but, you know, if you make a distinction, pleasure, it's different than pleasure. Pleasure is in the body. Happiness is in the mind. Joy is in the heart. Our hearts are filled with overflowing. It's ecstatic. Joy wants to be shared and moved, and it fills us in a way that even happiness doesn't quite fill us.
Right.
I was thinking about, you know, we mentioned in the opening of the show that joy is a defining characteristic of the Christian people. It certainly was a center of Jesus's life, and the apostles talked about it. I just was reading this letter from 1 Peter, where he talks, Peter's addressing a letter to a small band of new Christians. And they're living in this massive pagan culture, hostility all over the place. The letter talks about the persecution they're experiencing. So these folks are living in real hardship on a day-to-day basis. And here's what Peter says to them. He says, in referencing to them, he's reminding them of their relationship with Jesus. And he says, without having seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him, and you rejoice with unutterable and exalted joy. Peter's appealing right to their experience. He's not saying you ought to, if you don't know this, you ought to be experiencing this. He says, even now, you've never even seen Jesus. They didn't meet the resurrected Jesus like Peter did, but they said to him, Peter's appealing to them and saying, you haven't even met him, but you've got a burning love in you, knowing him personally, and it's filling you with ecstatic joy.
And you think, Peter, as you read that, what is that the experience of most Christian men today?
Yeah.
And it's a tremendous challenge because it would seem to indicate that there is something missing from us. And one of the places I look to when I try to figure out why do we not experience this as part of our day-to-day life? Why do we not get out of bed earlier than we think we should because we're so excited to have one more day to bring glory to God? It's not the way we think about things. And David in the Psalms writes in this wonderful Psalm 51, right after he sinned. And he's been found out, And, I mean, he's just had the worst week of a very godly man, yeah. but he has committed adultery, he's committed murder. This has been a bad time, and he's trying to make right with God again. And one of the things he says in Psalm 51, he says, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Mm. And what a wonderful prayer that is,
yeah.
that if we don't have a sense of joy about our faith, we got to repent. There's probably unconfessed, maybe even unacknowledged sin in our life. We live in a very corrupting and corrupted age, and so the junk gets on us. And to sit back and say, I want to get it off, and then I want to come back to you, Lord, and say, restore unto me the joy of my yeah. salvation.
And what is that salvation that is restoring to us? He's giving us the free gift of new life in Him. Brian said at the beginning of the program, he talked about Jesus said that for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. What was the joy that was set before Jesus? What was it that allowed Him to endure the cross?
The Father, the Father's love.
It was a relationship with the Father. Joy is a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a gift that the Lord, it's a fruit of the Spirit, that it grows in us as we're rooted more deeply in Jesus. And the Spirit reveals to us the relationship that we have with the Father. What will bring us joy, what satisfies the human heart, is the realization of the conviction in faith, deep trust and surrender of the knowledge that the relationship Jesus has with the Father, His sonship, His security, His identity, His destiny is in His relationship with the Father. Jesus said, I came to give you my joy. I came to give it to you so that you would have joy to the full.
And it's amazing to see, I think a great place, and we've talked about this before, but in Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 19, there is an examination of conscience, kind of a take your spiritual temperature, where it begins with, these are the deeds of the flesh.
Yeah.
And it begins to list them. And then it goes on in verse 22, after listing the deeds of the flesh, it lists the deeds of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit, and to be able to sit back and say, where am I in all this?
Yeah.
You know, which of these two lists describe me? And I got to admit, I'm a mixed bag myself.
Sure.
You know, some of those
sure.
things, I sit back and say, the first yeah. list, which I don't want,
yeah.
actually better defines me. And to be able to sit back and say, this is a great indication to go back and say, God is trying to show us, as we experience frustration or enmity or strife, that there's something more. And if we were living in accordance with Him, love, joy is the second yeah. of those yeah. on the list. That's what I want for you to have. I want you to have a life that's different than you have yeah. right now.
You mentioned you're in a mixed bag a bit. So am I. So is everybody who's listening. Because we're on a journey. We're transitioning from walking in the flesh, you described there, to walking in the Spirit. The more we walk in the Spirit, the more we experience the Spirit's power to be convinced about what Christ has done for us. Listen to verse 8, chapter 8, verse 12 of Romans. He says, so then, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, for if you live according to the flesh, you're going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of sonship. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is the Spirit Himself bearing witness to our spirit that we're children of God. This is the transition, and this is where Christian joy gets to. The living conviction that comes from the grace of the Spirit through Christ, I'm a son of God.
That's
I'm a
amazing.
Son of God. I've been given God's will. And eternity is my destiny,
yeah.
a life with Him.
And Jesus bridges that. I mean, just as Jesus, for the joy set before Him, that relationship with His Father, now we have been invited into a relationship with Jesus. Listen yeah. to what He has to say to His followers in Luke chapter 6, verse 22 and following. Blessed are you when men hate you and ostracize you and cast insults upon you and spurn your name as evil for the sake of the Son of Man. Be glad in that day and leap for joy.
Yeah.
Is that our experience?
Yeah.
This is a loyalty that Christ is calling us to, a relationship that is really what our faith is all about.
Yeah.
This is the relationship we as men need to long for. Amen. Brian?
Thanks, Curtis and Peter. Good game plan. Coach, are you ready to take the leap down into the red zone with these guys?
Down there with those guys? What a joy.
We are in the red zone next with Curtis, Peter, and the coach here on Crossing the Goal. Stay with us.
You are a trip, man.
What am I going to be when I grow up?
We're so filled with joy here in the red zone, we're about to sing for you. Maybe we should spare them that, guys.
You don't want to ruin their joy. You don't want to steal their joy, no.
This joy thing, though, is pretty catchy, don't you think, Danny?
It's contagious.
Yeah.
Joy is contagious. I was thinking Why would somebody want to follow us as a Christian if we don't exhibit joy in our heart?
Yeah.
If we don't have a smile on our face and a bounce to our step? You know, we go out here and you say, well, as a Christian, we go out there and say, wonder why people don't follow us. We're walking around with a frown on our face. Well, someone says, well, that's a Christian. If that's the attitude, that's not what I want. I want some joy. I want a smile on somebody's face. I see so many Christians walking around here that I know if I was just trying to figure out that I want to be a Christian or not, I'm not sure I would follow them. Yeah, then there's others you see with that smile on their face. We've been around them.
Sure, yeah. Sure.
I want to be around
it's
that
contagious,
kind of a person.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Mark Twain makes that point in Tom Sawyer when he looks at his aunt who's religious but isn't happy, and Huck Finn, who isn't religious but seems to be happy. He says, gosh, if Huck's going to hell, I think maybe I'd rather go with him. We can't let people come to that conclusion.
Exactly.
It's devastating.
Right. Yeah. I think we let people let the experiences of life get you down. You know, we all have things every day we could get discouraged about. We could be despondent, depressed, distracted. And what that reveals when that we get under all that stuff is that our own heart isn't full yet of the love of the Lord. Oh, and that... You know, the place, how do you get it? How do you get there, I think, is a real question for people.
I think that people look at life in a negative sense. There's so much negativity around that there's not much for joy out there. If you look, what's joyful out there? I think people like to see, why does people follow sports so much? I think they see some joy in it. Yeah. They're looking for things out there where they can get some joy.
They're at least looking for joy in it. They don't think they're finding joy in it. They're finding happiness.
Yeah.
And it tends to be a distraction at the most, but it doesn't satisfy. The heart is where the joy is. And our hearts are made for God and knowing the security of God's love. I mean, the early church converted the pagan world largely because when they went to martyrdom, they'd go forgiving those who killed them, and they went with joy. Literally, they went sometimes singing, and people said, who are these people?
Yeah. You know? I don't know what they have, but I want it.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And they don't see the joy in, like you said, Jesus in the cross. He saw the joy. We get suffering or temptations or trials in our life, and we don't see it as a time for joy. We got to battle through it. Once you get battled through those kind of things, what's at the end of it? Joy.
Yeah. Our joy needs to be rooted in faith, though, in order to get through those things.
Oh, yes,
well, that's a key point when we talk about the joy. It's the joy set before Christ that he endures the cross.
Yeah.
The cross itself is not a source of joy for him.
I wasn't too happy
with
that.
But it is faithfulness to the Father, and that's what I think we have to realize. We live in a church that doesn't talk about heaven and hell enough.
Right.
And we're distracted by this world when we realize that all the high points in this life are a blessing from God, but they're foretastes to what he really wants to give us, then all of a sudden we can take the shots the world dishes out because we get to go to heaven.
Yeah.
And now if I say, do you mean to tell me that your happiness and everything is in this life? So when it ends, that's it?
Yeah,
there's no joy. I mean, that's your whole happiness and peace is based on that.
And almost every happiness we have in this life is mixed with sorrow. You know, I've got 8 kids, but I'm worried something's going to happen to one of them.
Right.
You get to heaven, you're not worried about that anymore. It's just friendship and love and joy forever.
Yeah. And the bills for the food and stuff, too.
Not in heaven, but
with 8 kids. You know, that scriptural truth is that the joy of the Lord is our strength. You know, I think sometimes when we pray, we worry about things. Prayer life can be reduced to worrying before the Lord. You know, we come with our whole list of all the things we're anxious about, and we talk to the Lord. It's good to talk about those things. But, you know, Scripture also says, rejoice always. Mm-hmm. Pray constantly, you know. Yeah. Rejoice in the Lord. Give the Lord. It commands us to give the Lord, you know, praise and let our hearts sing to him because of the fact of what he did. No matter what the circumstances are in our life, no matter how crummy we feel right now, the fact is we've been given heaven, as Curtis was saying. We've been given the gift of eternal life and Jesus' own existence in glory. That's mine now. It's a free gift.
You know, don't you think we take ourselves way too seriously?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, we're all around. We're ready to take inventory on everybody and starting with ourselves and beat people down, beat ourselves down, walk around like everything, it's so serious. Come on, man. Yeah. Chill out. Lighten up a little bit.
You know, when Jesus said we have to be like children, little children have joy. They don't have all this stuff to get bogged down. Even in, I love the visitation where the John the Baptist leaps for joy in the womb of Elizabeth before he's born.
Absolutely.
Because of the presence of Jesus.
Coming to know the Lord. But I think, let's jump to the other side, because you made a point a little earlier I'd like to go back to. There are a lot of men out there right now who are not experiencing joy.
Right.
When we're talking about this, it's almost like, I don't...
Come on, man.
That's not my experience.
Right.
And it's certainly not my experience of my faith life.
Yeah.
And the first thing I have to say, we're not talking about an emotion. we're talking about something much deeper than emotion.
Yes.
And so how is it that we tap back in to this wellspring of joy to transform our lives?
Well,
go ahead.
I'd say that for me, and I think the journey for all of us in some way is touching the truth about who Christ is, what he's done for us, and allowing the Spirit of God to convince our spirit that what Christ has done, what he's accomplished, is literally for me. And that comes through a life of prayer, of surrender to the Lord. So one of the places we grow in the Lord and grow deeper in receiving the Spirit's grace is through prayer every day, you know?
And to add on to that is our joy, our peace, our happiness is to be found in the depths of our heart. And St. Augustine says, our hearts will never rest until it rests with thee. That's where the real joy comes. Once you settle in your life and come to the conclusion that I have to make Jesus Christ number one in my life, that's when the joy will start coming. It's not like every day you wake up and everything's fine. I turn my life over to the Lord. No more problems, no more stuff. Let's talk about some personal joy.
I'm sure each of us has a story of joy.
I was just thinking about that. I just remember just a year ago, sitting in my living room, regular morning prayer, and I felt like, you know, what I was trying to do in prayer was kind of empty myself, just sort of empty my mind of all the things I'm worried about and all the anxieties, and just keep repeating the name of Jesus, that simple Jesus prayer. And for some reason, that morning, while I was sitting there all by myself in my living room, all of a sudden, I just started sensing the presence of Jesus and the beauty of the Lord and how great he is. I can't even hardly put words on it. All of a sudden, I just felt my heart was just kind of filling up more and more. And I just felt so secure. I felt so secure in Christ, so grateful for what he did. I didn't create that. I didn't make that happen. I pray every day. It doesn't happen every day like that. Right. But it was a gift, and it was just one of those moments, and it carried me for 2 weeks after that, you know? Yeah.
I had an experience. My middle daughter was getting married. And there was a place in the ceremony where my youngest daughter was singing Ave Maria. By the way, her name is Angela Joy.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
So she's singing Ave Maria, and my daughter Alicia and her new husband are over at the Blessed Mother praying and presenting flower. I was so filled with joy at that moment. I can't explain. It was like total bliss.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great.
You know, the amazing thing is you can experience in very weird places in our lives. I was at a funeral and was listening to the funeral of a friend of mine, Jane Davis, and her died tragically. And the church was filled with people and the testimonies of the sons and the community to this woman's deep faith. And it was just spectacular. And I thought, oh my goodness, how can you experience the tragedy of death without faith? And what a blessing it is to be able to endure every aspect of life, even the most tragic, with faith. It gives you the ability to transition and to be able to get through and past these events, which we all have to get through.
Yeah.
And we're not meant to grin and bear it. We're meant to be able to pass through and be drawn closer to the Lord. And my wife and I left, we just sat back and said, wow, this was spectacular.
Yeah.
The tragedy hadn't gone away, but it was just absolutely spectacular.
Yeah. Yeah. I can remember I was invited. I just had turned my life over to the Lord. I didn't go all the way in. I had my foot in. Up to about the ankle, and they invited me to a charismatic prayer meeting. First time I ever been there, so I went and I sat in the back. I said, I need to get out of here. I don't know what's going to go on here. Yeah. The church fills up, and all of a sudden, you know, I'm saying, I'll get out of here quickly. But they start praying and singing, and everyone's in joy, and all of a sudden, it sounded like an attack of bumblebees. They were praying in tongues. I said, what? Am I in a Catholic church? I'm looking around for a crucifix. And the people had their hands up and smiles on their face. And I was sitting there with a frown on my face. And I looked, I said, that's what I want. And as they sang, the more they sang, the joy came into me. That's what I want. I want that so desperately in my life.
Yeah, you're losing
yourself. Of course, when the prayer meeting was over, I got out of there.
You lose yourself, is what was happening. You lose yourself. You learn the Holy Spirit wants to help us lose ourselves in God.
Yeah.
The more we stay in ourselves, the less joy we're going to have. You know what I mean?
So far, it was like an out-of-body experience. It's so a joy that I'd never had experienced before. Yeah.
All right, great joy experiences. They'll get the last word on the joyful man as our Godly Man series continues next on Crossing the Goal. Also, we'll get to our email bag next.
We're in the end zone here on Crossing the Goal. If you just can't get enough of Crossing the Goal, you can always go to our website. And by all means, leave us an email. We like to read some of them on the air. And we've got one from Robert in the Poconos in Pennsylvania. He says, I love the show. My family calls it my Catholic man show.
There you go.
It's a must-see on Sunday nights. He says, I donate monthly to EWTN. Very good. Focus and Renewal Ministries.
Very, so you guys are right.
Thank you.
But I would like to also make additional recurring donations specifically to Crossing the Goal and the Sunrise Morning Show.
Keep it coming.
So they can do that through the website?
Absolutely, through the website. You can right there on PayPal. Just click on it, donate. It's right there for you.
And thank you for your generosity, sincerely. Yes, I mean, we are very, very grateful.
And the Sunrise Morning Show is the radio show that I get to host weekday mornings on EWTN, so you can always visit our website there as
Ryan,
well.
Ryan, one other thing. I want you to also encourage more men to watch, Robert, but also there's a lot of women out there watching, guys. What we want to do, you keep watching, and then get your husbands and boyfriends to start watching.
And they all love Danny's blue eyes.
There you go.
Check it out. One blue north, one blue south.
All right, let's get the last word on the godly man is joyful. Peter?
One of the things we haven't said yet about joy is that it's a byproduct. It's not something you pursue directly. It's a byproduct of knowing the Lord. Listen to Psalm 16, verse 9. It says, therefore, my heart is glad and my soul rejoices. My body also dwells secure. For thou dost not give me up to Sheol, but let thy godly one not see the pit. Thou dost show me the path of life, and in thy presence there is fullness of joy. In thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. So if you want joy, pursue God.
Great word. First of all, a challenge from a non-Christian who says this about life. He's a scientist. He says, the vigorous, the healthy, and the happy survive and multiply. That's from Charles Darwin. And he's talking about, we need, if we're going to survive and thrive and multiply, we need to be joyful. And I'd like to leave us with this. What does it mean to be joyful? How can we be practical about that? And it comes from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians. He says this, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, and united in spirit, intent on one purpose. I want to invite you to recommit yourself to a unity with the Catholic Church. It is through this visible unity manifested by our loyalty to the Pope and the bishops and our priests that we're going to radiate our joy in Christ and really show the light of the world.
Man, we talked about earlier in the show that joy is contagious. What I want you to do right now and this week is take inventory of yourself. Think about it. When you get up, are you in a joyful spirit? When you're with your family, are you in a joyful spirit? When you're at work, are you in a joyful spirit? What's your attitude on life? Really start thinking about it and reflect on it. And then if it's not, make a concerted effort to change.
It's a great joy working with you guys. Coach Danny Abramowitz, Curtis Martin, Peter Herbeck, I'm Brian Patrick. Next time on Crossing the Goal, the godly man is merciful. We hope to see you then.